Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit Morrison's Appliances and Service.com. Hey there.
Hey, how you doing this morning? This is Don Jordan. I'm here with Rich Reardon.
Yes, sir, and this is Inside Outdoors.
Buddy Bill's taking a day off this morning.
A siesta.
A siesta, yeah. He's a morning siesta. And we're going to do the best we can here without him. And,
absolutely.
We've got a few little items on here to pass along to you this morning. And I want to make sure that you call in this morning, because we're going to need your help, folks. We're at 812-323-1200. That's 812-323-1200. Anything you'd like to talk about on Earth, please give us a call.
Well, speaking of Earth, we're in trouble now.
Oh, how's that?
Well, we're past the point of no return. We are now heading away from the sun.
Ah.
It was on the 21st of June last week that we got as close as we're going to get. So it's going to get cold again, unfortunately, at some point.
Well, maybe that'll help with the global warming.
I'm sure it helps in general, but doesn't help when it's, boy, in the middle of February, and it was cold this last year. I hope we don't have the same winter we had last year.
Well, I this would be my first winter without a house in Florida. So I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to weather this. maybe weathering it in New Mexico or someplace like that.
Well, that would be nice.
Although it gets cold there too, you know, that high elevation there.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of cold.
Yeah, dry, they say.
Right now it is 70 degrees here in foggy, misty Bloomington.
And on its way to 93.
Yeah, it's going to be a warm one today.
Going to be that way for the next 6 or 7 days at least, they say.
Yeah.
No rain in the forecast, so make sure you water your garden. Water your dogs and cats. There was saw a little clip on Facebook yesterday of people taking pictures of their dogs and cats trying to get water in this heat. And one dog was so desperate that he tried to climb into a water fountain, and somehow he had turned the water fountain on and was just lapping away.
Yep. I saw that too.
Oh, you did, yeah. It was pretty cute. And cats, of course, they get under the faucet.
Mm-hmm.
anyway, feed your animals, keep them out of the hot car, and make sure they have plenty of water. It's a good way to avoid having future problems with your pet. Okay, I got the lake report here this morning. You ready for that?
I am ready.
Okay.
We might run out of time, but we'll keep it going on the next one, round if you hear the music.
Well, the local one first. Lake Monroe, that's 539.2 feet. That's only 1.2 feet above normal. And the water temperature on the surface at the dam, 79.88 degrees Fahrenheit. So you come back, we'll give you the Cataract Lake and Patoka Lake levels.
Sounds good, and it is warming up too. What did you say the temperature was?
It's 80 degrees, 79.88.
So. Yep, this is the time. I got some questions for you when we get back to about fishing. And folks, we are running slightly out of time just for the second, even though we just got started here, but we got a quick break to tell you the weather and where you're at, and we will be right back. Listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB Bloomington, serving the community for over 25 years here, broadcasting at the John Waldron Arts Center of Ivy Tech Community College, a proud supporter of WFHB Community Radio. You're listening to Inside Outdoors, and right now it is 70 degrees Fahrenheit in a foggy, misty morning here in Bloomington, and if it's going to burn off soon, it's going to be high of 93 today, so watch out, keep out of the sun, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. And we are back real quick. We're back.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. We're back with the finished up of the lake report here. We had Monroe at 539.2, that's a foot 1.2 feet above normal. Cataract Lake, or Lake Cataract, or Kegel's Mill, or Lieber State Park, that's 640 feet. Their normal pool is 639.5, so from a point where it was like 30 feet, 40 feet above normal earlier this year, we're now actually right on the figure. So it's at normal. Patoka Lake, that'd be 543.5. They're usually 536, so they're a little above normal right now. So things are calming down out there. The water's hot. Fishing is not that great right now. I haven't seen or heard a lot of talk about pan fishing. Cat fishing, this is the time of year it starts to quote unquote warm up. Yeah, and this is a good time to go down and catch a catfish. If I were you, I wouldn't eat it, because anything very large caught out of any waters of this country right now is full of mercury and other stuff that you don't want to eat or feed to your children or pregnant wife.
Well, that was a question I was going to bring to you today, which was, if you're in Lake Monroe and you do catch something, is it safe to eat some crappie and some whatever? I mean, is it like you can't eat anything ever, or should it be just once a month, or how do you deal with
okay,
that?
Okay, well, I just looked this up a couple weeks ago. Here's the thing at Lake Monroe. 1 8-inch bluegill meal per week is what you're allowed to eat, or at least that's what they say is safe. Now, that's just 1 8-inch
bluegill. Well, I was just going to say, that's not much of a meal.
Well, it just goes to tell you what, you know, this stuff is not, mercury is bad for you.
Yeah, it is.
And there's other stuff in those fish, too. And by golly, you shouldn't have to be worried about that, but we are all worried about it. And it comes up more and more often these days, because there's so many more waters that are affected by industrial and agricultural pollution. We get runoff from fields. We get runoff from parking lots in big apartment complexes, parking lots at big businesses. All of that ends up in our water and eventually in the fish. Yeah. So. Personally, you know, I'm an older fella. We don't probably have to worry about it too much, because it takes sometimes decades for this stuff to cause you any physical problems, sometimes not. But I still eat some bluegills once in a while, and I haven't eaten a catfish in a long time.
No, I don't think I'd have one out of there.
or anywhere. That's really a shame, too, because Monroe has some just wonderful catfishing. If you like to get your line stretched, that's the place to go. You know, 40-pound catfish is not unusual. That would usually be a flathead or a blue cat, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are 15- and 20-pound channel cats by the boatload down there. And frankly, the easiest way to catch them is a hot day like these are going to be coming up is to go along the shoreline someplace shady, casting a little jig up into the edge of the brush that's usually along the bank there and just let it fall slowly down through the water and wham, you're going to catch one. If you're using light gear, which most people do, it might take a little while to get that 20-pounder in the boat, so be careful, you know, take it easy with them.
Yeah.
And let your drag do the work, and they do wear out eventually. So there you go.
Well, I tell you, my favorite thing to do up on the north end of the lake was to catfish and off Friendship Road and some of that area.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say it out loud because not a lot of people go up there, but there's a lot of great places.
Well, that
on that side of the lake to do some catfishing.
The creek, Salt Creek, which is mostly what we're talking about up mm-hmm. in there, is undercut, tremendously undercut. I, when they were looking for that poor dead girl that they didn't find down there a few years back, they had sectioned off part of the Salt Creek up in there, and it was without water. So I went down and took a look at it, and those banks are undercut sometimes by 5 or 6 feet, and up underneath there is just these masses of roots.
Yeah.
And, they
just love that, too, don't
they? Yes, they get in there, and, you know, if you're fishing there and you get one on, you better have some heavy line and get them out of there real quick, they're going into those roots underneath those banks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a fun time. Now, there's some huge... I don't want to say huge, but there's some big bass up in there, too. I'd say 5-pounders aren't unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some 7-pounders seen in there when they did that little drainage job up there. So there are good fish in Monroe if you can find them and you're willing to work for them. Yeah, that's a lot of work getting up to Salt Creek, especially if you're in a boat. You got to put in at Crooked Creek.
Yeah, you got to get out there in the dark and, you know, take your time getting up into there, but if you can get it right at sunrise up in some of those areas,
mm-hmm.
that's some good fishing right up there.
Yeah, you know, that sunrise and sunset is always a good time. It's the reduced light makes the fish feel safer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody's always told me anyway. So that would be the thing to do.
Now, if you're fishing on the south end of the lake down by the dam, I know there's a couple of coves there. I think it's probably highly fished because of Four Winds and some of that area. But what would you do if you were going to fish down there, Don?
Well, number one, as much the water's more clear in the lower end of the lake. So you got to keep that in mind. And it's usually a little deeper than the upper end of the lake, so you need to keep that in mind. And there's a lot of boat traffic, bigger boats with large wakes. So the thing to do is stay off of the big part of the lake, unless you fish the points for walleye, and go up into the creeks. There's several creeks that come in down there. There's a Sugar Creek, which is down there by the point. Then we got Ramp Creek, which used to be the best fishing on the lake. And then we got Moore's Creek. And across on the other side of the lake, that'd be the south side of the lake, there's the Boy Scout Camp Bay, they call it. That's in the lower part of the barbell that's that part of Lake Monroe. There's a pinch there that everybody knows about. And upstream of the pinch is where the Boy Scout Camp Bay is. That's been good bass fishing in the past. I I don't know how the bass fishing is going down there now, but they have a bass tournament down there pretty much every day on the weekend and more than one. So keep that in mind. And we do have 4th of July coming up.
This
is not generally considered, this, I believe, at least this year, the main weekend for 4th of July is next weekend, although campgrounds that I've looked at, have checked on, are counting both this weekend and next weekend as the holiday weekend, which means a little higher rate and maybe harder to get in. I don't know if people are taking this week as like today as their holiday weekend.
Well, I've heard everybody talking, it's on Wednesday, so we're just going to party both weekends. So
both weekends. Okay, well, why not?
Well,
why not?
Hey, we make some more money, do it. But I tell you what, we will, you know, if you got to be safe out there when you're going to have your fireworks and everything else. I saw a little bit of it last night. There was a big pile in my neighborhood of stuff they were doing last night. And I did hear a big crescendo down at the raceway, because I'm on the south end of town. So I think they had some fireworks down there last night.
Well, they got to cover both weekends, I guess.
Yeah, and they'll be doing it other places. I don't know, really. I should have looked up the fireworks schedule here in town, but I don't know what the when or where they're doing it. Well, I'll look that up as we're talking here.
Okay, well, I hadn't heard or read anything about it either. But, you know, it's always been out by the fairgrounds in the past. I don't know if that's still going to be the place or not. So I guess we'll find out. I do know that in Cook City, Montana this year, that the fireworks display, which is run by the fire department, I want to tell you, the display is going to be right in the main street. That's US 212 down in Cook City with all those houses and motels and whatnot around. So I hope they've got their fire hoses out. Of course, it's been raining up there just pretty much constantly this year, and I doubt that rain, fire is going to be a big problem, at least for a month or two. And real high water levels out to Yellowstone National Park right now. And let's see, I had a...
Well, back to the fireworks real quick. I had, unfortunately, we were too late last night. The 29th was the big fireworks display at the Speedway. But there is going to be some fireworks on Lake Monroe. That'll be at the Four Winds on July 4th. And about 10 p.m. down there. Looks like you can get in there for about $7 a vehicle. $9 if you're out of state.
So, and where was that?
Down at the Four Winds.
Four Winds, yeah. So you got to pay the recreation area entry fee.
Yep. And that will be July 4th. So I'll keep looking around, see if there's any more. But that's going to be, that looks like the next one that's coming.
Well, there's surely a county one this year. You know.
Yeah. But anyway, this is Inside Outdoors. And we're happy to be here every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. If you want to call in, it's 812-323-1200. Love to hear from you, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, online, always at WFHB.org. And you can hear us if you're out of state, and actually you could hear us probably if you were in Japan. All you got to do is get in on the internet and go to our website, and you'll be able to find us. And, you know, the other thing I must say about that is we do podcast this program, and you can find that in our underwriter Morrison's Appliance and Service. Also on WFHB, too. Just go to Inside Outdoors under the menu, and you'll find us there. Anyway, we're looking at about 70 degrees still, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, everybody.
We are back again.
It's 4th of July week. Gonna be hot, guaranteed. Stay cool. That's all I can say. If you got a pond, I'd recommend going sitting by the pond in a shade tree and then jumping in the lake every once in a while, you know, just to keep yourself cooled down. Take your dog along, let them get cooled down. Now, your cat's not going to like being thrown in the water, so don't take the cat. Leave the cat at home.
And again, you can call in here at 812-323-1200. Be glad to talk about fishing. And back to a question, how do you catch those stripers down there?
Well,
tell me how to do it.
They're wipers, actually.
Oh, I did mean wipers.
Yeah, that's a hybrid striped bass and white bass.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of look the same. They got stripes on their sides. And
they're big.
They can be big. I think the biggest one to ever come out of Monroe is a little over 20 pounds. You know, they can get bigger than that in big water, like in the ocean, you know. Your actual striper, you know, your saltwater striper that's landlocked, can get quite large. You know, we're talking 40, 50 pounds on some of those babies. And you can catch those down in those TVA reservoirs, those deep reservoirs down in the south. Mm-hmm. And what you do to catch one of them, I'd say, they're very susceptible to artificial lures. And you just have to cast for them. You'd be sitting back in, say, Ramp Creek, and you'll hear this crash, ripping sound on the surface, and that'd be one of those big wipers chasing some bait fish. So your immediate reaction is going to be to cast to that. Well, that never works for some. It's probably worked at one time or another for somebody, but never works for me. So you're better off getting some plan, trolling for them out in the main lake. You want to look for schools of fish. Those are usually gizzard shad, and the wipers hang out down underneath them. So you can troll a plug like a shad wrap or something like that. You can troll a minnow rig with a spinner on it. I think that plugs are probably the best thing. Plugs, spoons, anything that looks like a fish will attract their attention. And boy, they do pull hard. So when you get a decent one on, let's say a decent one's 5 or 6 pounds, they're going to pull pretty hard for a while. So don't horse them in, or you'll lose them. Of course, here we don't have to worry about sharks grabbing them in as they're firing in, or alligators or anything like that. So you can give it a little time, and that's highly recommended.
So would you use some of that shad that you're talking about is invasive, is it not? Isn't that what
we're
talking about?
Oh, yes. They're pretty much the fish that ruined Lake Monroe. You know, it used to be a great crappie lake and a bluegill lake, and now it's just a little crappie lake and a big, real good catfish lake and some bass. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, the shad, that's also what ruined West Boggs Creek. Somebody slipped some shad in down there thinking that mistakenly that by putting the shad into these waters would make more and bigger bass. Well, what it ends up doing is making less bass, and we have a few big ones and no young ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they consume all of the available food mass for the smaller fish, meaning that bluegills get smaller or disappear, and same thing with crappie. By the way, I ran across a little thing about West Boggs Creek Lake. You know where that is, down Lagodi.
Lagodi, yeah.
And it was a great bluegill lake for a long time until the shad got in there. And this DNR renovated that this past year. And I guess it's been 2 years now. I hear the fishing is good down there. I don't know if it's as good as it used to be, but the big deal is they charge $15 to get in there to go fishing. And that is owned by the county recreation department down there. I believe that's the Davies County, isn't it? anyway, that is owned by the county, and it was renovated by the state of Indiana, and they're charging you $15 to get down and take care of it, fish there. It doesn't seem right to me, but if you want to pay $15 to maybe catch some fish, boy, it used to be a good place to fish, but boy, $15.
That's a lot of money for a day.
It seems like a lot of money to me, and I don't know whether that's $15 per boat or it's $15 per person. You know, I just don't know. I haven't called to ask them down there. I was kind of discouraged when I heard that they were going to charge that much. So I know a lot of people aren't interested in paying $15 to go down there and go fishing.
Right.
Especially when we have all this public water around here. We got three really good reservoirs in our region. We got Monroe, of course, which is, you know, it has its up and downs. And we have Cataract, which is the, you know, best crappie lake around here. And we got Patoka, which, you know, the same thing has happened down there. They got gizzard shad in there, and the bluegill fishing has declined as a result of that. But crappie fishing is about like it is in Monroe, only probably some bigger crappies. They have bass just like here now that they're shed in there. There's some big ones, and there's a lot of nothing in between that and little ones. And so catfishing at Patoka is probably worthwhile too, although I've never heard anybody talking about it. Patoka is a nice, pretty lake. It doesn't seem to have as much suspended stuff in the water as Lake Monroe does, and people aren't afraid to get in the water at Lake Patoka. So it's nice down there. I would go down there if you've never been there, especially. It's a nice big lake. There's lots of structure that has lots of little creeks coming into it, and those creeks are where you're going to do your best crappie fishing, probably in the creek channels and along the standing timber that's up in there. So those are three real good places to go fishing, all within driving distance of here. Another good one I've been kind of checking again is the federal campground down in the Hoosier National Forest at Lake Salina and Indian Lake, which is right off of I-64. If you go down Indiana 37, you hit I-64, you just follow the signs that say Indiana 37, go across I-64, and down there a mile or so is the turnoff to Lake Salina and Indian Lake.
I have never been there. That sounds like a good destination. I'd like to see that.
Well, I've always rated it the number one public campground in Indiana, and I think most people do. It has a variety of choices on campgrounds. You've got electric campgrounds, and you've got non-electric campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, if you I'm sorry to say this, but these days, if you get in that non-electric campground, chances are good that a bunch of motorhomes are going to be in there with their generators running all night.
Right, right.
So, you know, I don't know what to tell you, which one to pick, but if you go there during the week, you won't have to worry about it because there usually isn't anybody around. Stay away from these big public campgrounds on weekends. I don't know, Becca, have you ever camped in any of the state parks around here on a holiday, Rich?
Unfortunately, yes.
I'm telling you, it's, you know, if the people don't get you, the raccoons will.
Yeah.
Those raccoons, buddy, they can cause some mayhem, and they can get into any cooler. There is never a cooler invented that a raccoon could not open.
Well, I got a quick little story about that. I used to have a Volkswagen van, camper van, which is a lot of fun to have. And I was up in Chicago, and somebody broke into the side, you know, those little tiny side windows right on the very front?
Yeah.
And they broke that and then reached in and got into my van. And but by the time I had gotten back to Bloomington, I put a piece of duct tape and some cardboard there until I could get a window. That didn't seem to keep the raccoons from smelling that there was stuff inside that van. Boy, I tell you what, this is when my kids were little. We had a tent out there, and the coons were getting in the van. And you know how I figured? This is human ingenuity right here.
Okay, let's hear it.
I got some Coke cans or whatever we were having, and I tied them all together on a rope and put it over my window up there, and then tied it to my toe. inside the lake, and every time, or inside the, not the lake, the tent that I had, and every time I hear them starting to try to get up in there, boy, I just wiggle my toe, and they'd go running, and but it didn't really help too much, but it certainly...
I was going to say, they'd figure out that pretty quick.
Yeah, they figured it out quick, but...
They're smart.
We ended up having to put the food in the tent, and at least...
Did they come in the tent?
No, they weren't coming in after that. But, boy, you got to watch out for those raccoons, because they will... They're just figure their guests, you know, in your campground. So.
Well, you know, they know whose campground it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And they know everything about that place, and they know how to get in your food. They know how to get in your car. They know how to get in your VW van. They are just professional food
thieves. Yeah, they even wear little masks.
They
so
do.
you can't find them in a lineup.
They're extremely smart, and they got those little hands they can do anything with. You know, they just they can rip open a suet feeder as if there wasn't anything holding that suet feeder shut.
Exactly.
You know, you might as well just throw it out there for them. You know, so be after it.
You know, I did see something on Facebook about keeping squirrels out of your feeders and stuff, and one of the ideas they had was WD-40ing the pole so they can't climb up it.
Well, I think that would work for a while, but WD-40 does kind of dry out after a while.
It does.
The best one I've seen.
I think the WD-40 company came up with that solution.
It could be. You know, there's some. I got another WD-40. You know, there's a fish attractant.
I think we mentioned that.
Oh, we talked about
that.
Well,
we did, but it's good to say again because I asked you, did that actually work? And you said it kind of. You've heard about that.
Well, we used to when I lived in Wisconsin, and I musky fish a lot up there. We would spray our lures with this WD-40. It's supposedly made out of fish oil, or was, and I don't know whether it helped or not. You know, I really don't. I caught my biggest muskie on a lure that was not sprayed with WD-40.
Hmm.
So, maybe not. So have you heard about the new purple paint law in Indiana?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, this is a good one. This is Indiana DNR law enforcement. If you haven't heard about this new law taking effect July 1st, please make note of it. Landowners will be able to mark their property soon, and it is all... it's all up to the outdoorsmen to obey the wishes of landowners, but always gain permission anyway. So here's the deal. The legislature has passed a law that allows you to paint trees on your property with this bright purple paint that means, and once you paint it on there, that means no trespassing. So that's supposed to identify posted land, this purple paint, right? Well, I want to tell you, not a whole lot of people like that too much.
Well, I don't like it already.
One guy says, sure, great idea. I can deface my trees and make them look terrible, and people are going to come in anyway because they don't know what a purple paint means. One of the DNR guys says, well, they've been doing this out west for years and years and years. Well, I don't know.
Well, that makes it okay.
I've never seen it, actually. I guess they do it in Illinois. So here we come. Indiana's going to do the same thing. One person said that no matter whether you paint purple paint on your trees or not, you still have to put up signs every 50 feet around your property to, if you want to arrest somebody, get somebody arrested for trespassing on your land. So, I don't think I'd paint my trees purple, but then again, maybe some guys like purple trees. You know, I don't know what to say about that. It's unfortunate. Unfortunate, I think. The legislature's done it again. They've outdone themselves again. So purple paint, remember that.
It just, you know, that's all we need is to paint our trees.
I guess some states, all you have to do is put paint one post purple at the entry to your land, and that covers the whole place. Well, if some guy's coming in from the backside, he probably knows that he's trespassing anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You need to get permission if you're going to fish or hunt on somebody's land. It really irritates a lot of people, and as it should, I suppose. And the less public land we have, which we're moving that way, away from public land, the more private land will be called upon into service. So,
yeah.
So there you go. There's a black bear or a brown bear attack. Alaska, where else? Anchorage doctor was mauled by a brown bear early this week on a Copper River rafting trip. And he's got a pretty good story here. Guy's 46 years old. Said he saw a sow grizzly with cubs, which attacked him Monday night. He was taken to the Providence, Alaska Medical Center, and where they sewed him back together. They were on this rafting trip and pulled over on the side to maybe camp, maybe cook. But anyway, they stopped at this campsite, and they had no guns. They had bear spray, but no guns. And neither of us owned firearms, and I think anyone who knows anything about bears would say, if you don't know anything about a firearm, it's best not to use a firearm as your deterrent. However, couldn't find the bear spray. When they landed, they put the bear spray someplace, and they didn't know where it was. So in the chaos, we had to set the bear spray canisters down on the ground, and one of the two of them wandered back into the trees, you know what they were doing. And all of a sudden, here comes Mr. Bear, Mrs. Bear, and the guy says it was maybe 20 meters away. It charged immediately, tore through the brush. I've seen many dozens of bears, black, brown, polar, in the wild, but had yet to be charged by one. This one was coming on at an incredible velocity. The bear got to him and mauled him. Not sure how they got him. You know, I guess the bear grabbed him and let him go. Didn't really want it to kill him, and finally did go away. But the guy got torn up pretty bad. They're comparing his damage to the one in that movie Revenant.
Remember that? Boy, that was bad.
So he was in pretty bad shape, and he didn't know how long the whole thing took. And they got him to the hospital, and he's going to be all right.
Well, hey, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more, and I do have some updates on fireworks when we come back.
All right.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arch Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College, Bloomington, a proud supporter of community radio. We're happy that we have them on board, and looks like we're moving up real quick. It is now 72 degrees in Bloomington, and it's getting a little, I can see it. The sun's come out. I think we've burned off that fog and mist. And it's going to be about 93 today, low of 72 tonight. We're coming up on a full moon, and 90s pretty much for the rest of the week, high 80s. It's going to be warm. And so anyway, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back with more, and I'm going to give you the fireworks situation here coming up right as we come back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Yeah, we are back.
We're back for another Saturday morning with you all. And please call us this morning and let us know what's on your mind, whether it be indoors, outdoors, or any place else. Where else would you be?
Yeah, 812-323-1200. And I promise to give, I've been looking this up, and yeah, last night, Friday, June 29th, we had Independence Day at Bloomington Speedway with some fireworks. Tuesday, July 3rd, we got the B-Town Boom, which is a block party and fireworks in the Bloomington Trades District, and that is at 10 p.m. It's
where is the Bloomington Trades District?
Well, I'm guessing that is down downtown. It's the south side of the square. There's food trucks, music, more. Basically downtown.
Okay.
And that will start at 9:45, and I guess the looks like about 10 p.m. will be when the fireworks go off. We also have fireworks at Lake Lemon that night. That's 9:45. It doesn't say where it is, but I'm pretty sure, it's got to be right on the south side of the lake there, I'm guessing. So, also, let me see. We got the 4th of July parade coming up on Wednesday, July 4th, and that's going to be right downtown. You can see it on the west and south side of the Courthouse Square. Right there where Kirkwood and College and Avenue all the way up to Indiana. And anyway, that's 9 a.m. Bloomington Community Band will be playing some patriotic songs, and the parade begins at 10 a.m. And then we're looking at Fairfax. That's 10 p.m. That's $7 per vehicle. And again, I believe it's just because you gotta get into the place. But that's at Fairfax... at Monroe Lake and Lake Monroe, whatever you want to call it. And Ellisville, 4th of July fireworks are at dusk at Edgewood High School, and that is free. So you can go out there to Edgewood and hang out too. And that
good old Ellisville.
That looks like about all that's happening in our area.
Yeah, you can always count on Ellisville for a low price, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good deal out there. There's a country market out there too at Edgewood High School on that road going back in there.
Yeah,
and
Edgewood's a nice place to see the fireworks. I went out there 1 year. It's been a while, but a good place to go. Lots of room.
Well, we're up on the hill out there by Maple Grove, and we can actually see them from the back porch. So we probably won't be. Of course, we'll probably be at some relative's house anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
I used to buy fireworks and do them myself, but decided that was too much work. And I don't buy them anymore. All you folks that are used to driving to Florida and going through Tennessee and down there below Chattanooga, and above Chattanooga too, there's these big firework outfits, and two or three of those have closed up in the past year. So some of those big firework outfits are not doing too well. I don't know whether there's a decrease in the amount of fireworks being used and sold or just a proliferation of a number of places that sell them, which could be. It seems there's a lot of places that sell fireworks nowadays. Abandoned stores and malls and whatnot, you know, you'll see fireworks stores in there. Tents in the big giant department stores, parking lot, and things like that. There's plenty of fireworks to be had, and they're pretty serious ones now. You know, they've got some pretty good rockets and those fountains that shoot little balls of fire up into the air. Of course, you got to remember, it's going to be dry this week. Be careful; you could set the woods on fire. Don't need that, right, Ridge?
Absolutely.
Now let's see. I got a. Another little thing, the DNR put up a post on Facebook this morning that shows one of the officers in his squad car with his computer, and that's how they check your fishing license nowadays. Now, I don't know how they get that, whether they take their computer on the boat out on the lake or anything, but they can look it on there and check your whether that fishing license is... expired or up to date. Of course, you could always tell that by looking at the fishing license, but now we got multi-$1,000 units in all their vehicles to check on our fishing licenses. And one guy pointed out that, it doesn't seem right that we pay for a fishing license, even though they're minimal amount of money and they're free to old people, you know. It doesn't seem right that you got to pay to catch these fish that are so loaded with mercury and dieldrin and aldrin and PCBs and everything else. You can't eat them, right? But we still got to pay to fish for them. And I can see the, I understand the man's complaint. On the other hand, if a lot of people, the main part of fishing is catching the fish, and a lot of people don't want to mess with cleaning the fish and eating it, especially if it's got toxic chemicals in it. And so I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to decide yourself. I'm not going to quit fishing just because I'm not going to eat the fish that I catch. I do still eat some fish that I catch, although not many. And you know, the fish you buy at the store and that you eat in the restaurants is the same, you know, suffers from the same problems that our fish have right here in Lake Monroe or any other lake in the United States or any other country in the world right now. So all of this stuff is carried in airborne. It's sent into the air by often by incinerators, which send the mercury up in the air. There's mercury in paint, so it goes up and spreads around. It's the U.S. Geological Survey, by the way, in their survey of fish in America a few years back, found mercury in every fish they tested in every state they worked in. And that's kind of depressing if you think about it. And the government just issued, the administration, it's in power in Washington right now, just issued a commandment to employees of the U.S. Geological Survey that they are not to talk to the press anymore. Now, of course, those are the guys that have all the data about climate change, global warming, et cetera, et cetera. They're also the ones with the fish contamination material. And so the government doesn't want you to talk to them. Now, the state of Indiana tried that, the DNR did, back in the 70s. You had to get, like a lake manager had to get permission from Indianapolis to talk to a reporter. And that didn't work too well because there's a lot of people that work for the DNR that have us in mind instead of the head guy up in Indianapolis. So you got to watch these politicians, you know. They don't want any information getting out about anything. So that's especially critical if you're talking fish and the possibility of eating fish. And I guess that's about all there is to say about that. But you're not going to get a lot of good information coming out of the government about that problem at this time.
Well, and if we're going to talk about the national scene, there's a couple things in the news. One of them is down in Kentucky. Did you hear about the bourbon spill?
Oh, yes.
That killed a bunch of fish. Yeah. It was a warehouse next to a river. I don't know exactly where that was, but the warehouse collapsed and spilled a whole bunch of bourbon into the water.
I saw a picture of that. It's like there's thousands of wooden whiskey barrels.
Yep.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Pretty much, yeah.
Jeez.
At least they had a good time before they croaked there, those fish.
I don't know.
I don't think a fish probably is all that happy about swimming in bourbon. Obviously, they aren't because they all died, but unfortunately, that happened.
Well, if the fish police were on the scene, I'm sure they made them all swim a straight line.
Yeah. Hey, also, down your old way down in Florida, there was quite a bad thing with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of all kinds of marine life and fish. The red tide came in, and I'm sure you remember some of that, right?
Well, this is right. This happened right where I used to live. It's the discharge from Lake Okeechobee, mm-hmm. And the sugar farms that are still there that use lots of fertilizer. And when they get too much water in Lake Okeechobee, they open up the gates on both sides, and Most of the water, however, flows west towards the Gulf of Mexico, and apparently that's what causes red tides, pollution. We didn't used to have red tides. We have them all the time now. They're almost constant. And this water from Okeechobee flows right down the Caloosahatchee River and out into the Gulf of Mexico at Fort Myers. And the pictures I think you saw were from Boca Grande, which is just up. Actually, you know, I lived on Boca Grande Pass on the south side of it, but this guy was on the beach on the north side of the pass, and just thousands of dead fish. And
well, also sea turtles, eels, Goliath groupers, even manatees were showing up this time. It's a bad thing when you. I mean, it's not just some fish. It's some really. I mean, dolphins. Everything was washing up there.
And you know, the thing is that, you know, if this only happened once every few years or so, it would be one thing. But it happens every year now, and all year long. It's not confined to just the summer months. It's not confined to one place. It's not an unusual thing anymore. And if people wonder why there's no fish left inshore down in the Gulf of Mexico, at least in areas where they're susceptible to this sort of thing.
And when they talk about it, it's sort of like, oh, well, this is just the red tide came in. Yeah, it's happening. They don't take any responsibility for the fact that it's probably man-made.
Well, it undoubtedly is man-made. And, you know, when it does happen, about the only people to complain are the tourists that are paying to stay in the hotels where the fish are washing up out in front. You know, you got to walk on the beach with the dead fish. So, and the motel owners, because people stop coming to their hotels and motels when there's dead fish all up and down the beach. It ruins your beach trip, and I see that as a long-term problem for Florida. And then we got increased oil research going on, or oil exploration, they call it, going on down in the Gulf, and that's going to add to the amount of oil washing up on the beaches. We already get tar bowls from Louisiana end up down on the Florida beaches. Now we're going to have Florida tar bowls on Florida beaches. So,
yeah.
Things are not looking good in that regard, boys. So if you're thinking fishing, you might want to think Alaska or Siberia.
Yeah.
You know?
Antarctica?
Antarctica. Probably some cold fish down there.
Well, I saw that the Trump administration is now getting ready to fine any state who decides that they do not want any gas derricks right outside their waters, which is, you know, just another thing the administration is doing to make our lives better, you know, and get those oil companies to make more money.
Yeah, well.
Did you get your tax break? Are you feeling pretty rich now because the money that they've given you through your taxes?
No, you won't start seeing that tax break. You know, if you're rich, you'll see it this year.
Oh,
right. This year is when the big money tax break goes in, and oh boy, I don't believe I'm going to see much increase in my taxes.
Well, they're getting ready to go into the national parks and drill, and I tell you what, anything to do with the EPA, the only good thing I've heard this month is, you remember us talking about Blair Mountain?
Yes.
Blair Mountain is in West Virginia, and it was the place where, actually, most people don't know about it, but it was one of the biggest battles ever fought after the Civil War.
Is that Mattawan?
And it was a bit, you know, it's the miners, and that's where we get the term redneck. And the reason a redneck is that term is they wore red bandanas around their necks so they would know not to get shot, you know, or for buddies not to shoot them. And you know, it was basically coal wars, and but they took the Blair Mountain off of the register, the historical register, in order to mine it and blow it up and do all that. And there's been a battle going on for about 3, 4, or 5 years about that, and they have finally, because of everybody marching there and everything, They have put it back on the historical register and protected it, so Blair Mountain now will not be mined. So I'm happy to hear that, and it's pretty exciting news for all those that have done so much protesting in that area.
Isn't that the one where they sent the army in to shoot the guys, the miners?
Yes. Like I said, it was one of the biggest battles that we had, and most people don't really know about it. But yeah, there was hundreds and hundreds of people fighting, and again, that's where term redneck comes from, and basically that term has turned around, and now it's kind of has certain connotations, but back then it was a sign of respect that you were sort of the back home boy that was a coal miner fighting for your freedom. So that term is not a sign of disrespect in Appalachia.
Well, I'm afraid that most people are probably past that now. They don't know that, but I can see that. I wear a red neckerchief every once in a while. I don't know whether that makes me a redneck or not.
Yeah, oh, it does.
Does it? Okay.
I don't even need one on to be one.
You don't?
No.
I didn't know that about you, Rich.
Well, hey, I we're just talking about this because I grew up, I had a truck, I had a Winchester 3030 in my window, like everybody else back then. You had to show it in your back window when you drove around.
There you go.
Couldn't hide it. And I had my CB. My name was, and still is, Wild Elephant. And, that kind of makes me a redneck, I think.
I guess it does. I guess it does. Well, I'm telling you. If you're camping this next week, it's going to be hot out there. So look for a shady spot.
Right.
Leave doggy and kitty at home if you got air conditioning for them, because they're going to be pretty miserable in a camping situation.
And if you do bring them, make sure you got plenty of water.
Yes, lots of water. And I'm watching a cat here on Facebook that has no front legs, that is just, it's hopping all around. It's doing everything it needs to do to be a cat. Looks a little odd, but boy, he's getting around just fine. So,
well, with that, have a happy 4th of July. And,
are we done?
Yeah, we're done. I hear the music. We got about 10 seconds left. So, be careful out there. Don't blow yourself up with any fireworks. There's plenty of free ones out there we've told you about. And we'll be back after a while.
Song.
Bye. Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. You are listening to WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana. Volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also 98.1 in Bloomington. 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. You can listen to our podcast at morrisonsappliancesandservice.com, our wonderful underwriter who has sponsored us for the last 15 years or so. And today, we're looking at, right now, 69 degrees. It's going up and down, folks, but it's going to be hot today. It's going to be 93 tonight, 91. Low will be 72. We're looking at the high 80s for the rest of the week, so be careful out there. Mostly sunny, high heat index. See you next week.